as a presence. We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and as you hear me say every Monday through Friday at this time, I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. And like I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, we are now beginning our fifth year of broadcasting here on the radio station, bringing you the refreshing Word of God. Earlier this year, I had a little thing that God dropped in my heart, and that is that in the land of darkness, light is offensive, and in the land of lies, truth is offensive. But it doesn't make light any less powerful, and it doesn't make truth any more or any less necessary. We still need to be light, and we still need to be messengers of the truth. And so I pray that this radio broadcast is being a blessing to you. And what I'd like to say today is we are now through 10 of the 12 months in 2017. It's hard to believe that the time is going as quickly as it is, but it is. And, you know, I thought by now surely life would slow down just a little bit, but I believe that there is still a great need for people's lives to be impacted throughout the county, and that's why we continue to do what we do. We continue to do it with the best of our ability, with all of our mind, soul, strength, and body. We're giving it our all, and so we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit because with this journey with God, the Holy Spirit that we are on, He wants us to produce His character, His nature inside of us. It should be something that happens naturally. While I was out helping my parents move, there was a part of the property that I was on. I hadn't been on that part of the property for a long time. It was very overgrown. There was a lot of stuff that was just there that needed to be hauled to the scrapyard place. But when I was just a kid, there was a pecan tree there. And even though I believe lightning got the pecan tree a long, long time ago, what I found when I was going through that area was I found pecans. Now, I don't think that the pecans were going to be good to eat or anything like that anymore, but the fruit that that tree had produced was still evident. And it had been several decades since that pecan tree had been there. Probably three or four decades. And yet the fruit still remains. That's why we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Because whatever you and I do in obedience to God, the Holy Spirit is going to produce fruit in us that is going to remain even after we're gone. And so I want to encourage you that today, being fruitful in the Spirit is not optional. It's something that should come from our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit wants to produce that long suffering in us. And so today we're going to take you to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 10 today. And we may not touch on everything in this passage, but we're going to touch on the patience aspect as well as some other things. And again, I just want to remind you, there's four aspects to this long-suffering patience that God wants to develop in us. It is patience, which is active. It is endurance. It's doing it continually, and it is doing it with joy. Okay? And so here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 3. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So on yesterday's program, we were talking about that the scriptures are given to us so that we will learn, and that we would come to the end goal of having confident expectation in what the outcome of an event is because of the patience and the comfort that the scripture bring us. And so we're going to see that from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 today. And, you know, yesterday we talked about that the God of patience and comfort, that he wants to make us like-minded, that he wants us with one mind and one mouth to glorify our Heavenly Father. That's the end game. And you and I, as long as we stay with our agenda instead of God's agenda, we haven't got to that place where God wants us to get yet. As long as we are trying to get people to think like us instead of trying to get everyone to think like God thinks, we're still aiming too low. So today, I'm not trying to get you to become like me. I'm not trying to get you to conform to Bob Arthur's. God only wanted one Bob Arthur's, so that's why he only made one of me. You are just as much a testimony of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll just say this. You're not trying, or should not be trying, to be anybody else. You should be the best you that God can make you. Allow God the freedom to work in you, to remove from your life those things that will hinder you becoming the best you that God can make you, and allow him to instill in you, as I'm trying to allow him to instill in me, the things that will make me the best me that I can be. So while I was away, I ran into this young man, and I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking about what my life was like at the time of year in my senior year that this young man is currently. And if you had seen me at that point in time and see me now, you would say, those two people cannot be the same people. And I will tell you, you're right. You're right. I'm not the same person I was at 17 years old. I'm not the same person that I was 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. I'm not the same person, because God is looking to make us new creations in Christ Jesus. He's looking to make us a new species of being that has never existed before. I still remember hearing that at a Christian concert a long, long time ago, 4.5 decades ago, hearing that truth and saying, wow. So the devil will try and get you to resist God moving in your life and making you something. He will try and drag you down where God is trying to build you up. Let me get to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 3, we read about that. So let's look at the purpose. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. That is the preeminent point in this passage of Scripture, is that you and I are witnesses. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we are witnesses. We're either a good witness or we're a witness that needs some improvement. In legal terms, lawyers are told to never ask a question that they don't already know the answer to. They are instructed to make sure that they know the answer to the question before it is ever asked. And so you and I, we need to make sure that we are going to be the best witness that we can be for the glory of God. Part of that witness is that we adopt the mindset of ministry. The word ministry, you know, it is tended to be a little altered from its basic meaning. The word minister means servant. That's what it does. We tend to look for great leaders. God looks for great servants. And Paul said that his reason for operating and conducting his life the way that he does, or the way that he did, was so that his ministry unto God would not be blamed. I remember one time when I was manager of a retail establishment, a person came in and they said, you know, you're exactly the type of person we are looking for such and such a business. And I said, I'm sorry, but I don't get involved in businesses of that nature. And it wasn't anything illegal or moral or unconstitutional. It wasn't anything like that. They said, well, why not? And I said, because I want everyone to know that I serve Jesus Christ. I am a minister, and as such, I don't want to do something that if someone has a bad experience with that business, that it reflects poorly upon my Savior. And so I have never gotten involved in any business like that, and I won't. I also had a situation one time. I was in sales, but I was not a manager. There was a job that opened up. It was a bridge job. It wasn't something that I was very good at. I like things that are nice and concrete, where prices are prices, and you don't have to haggle and negotiate and all of that. And I just wasn't very good at this job. And I'll tell you what it was. It was selling furniture. I wasn't very good at it. But I could talk to people, and there's one customer that I remember, and this customer was not a believer. They made no bones about who they were, and they talked and they talked and they talked and they talked, and they did everything that they could to draw me into the conversation matters that they wanted to discuss. And I just refused to play the game. And so I did my job. I presented the products. I described the features and the benefits, and I described the features and the benefits and the features and the benefits. And I did this through the first visit, the second visit, and the third visit. And eventually, instead of buying an entire household worth of items, the person settled on buying a nightstand. And so I was writing up the contract, and they said something else, and I after everything was all said and done, I looked at the person and I said, "Do you know what my other job is?" Now mind you, I'm in a retail establishment. I'm selling furniture. I said, "Do you know what my other job is?" And they said this: "You have to be a minister because you haven't participated in any of the things that I was talking about other than just what was germane to the transaction we were doing." I said, "That's exactly who I am. I am a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I will tell you that the world will try and get you to compartmentalize your life. But the light of Jesus Christ and the love of God is not supposed to be something that you take out of the closet whenever you go to church, and then you put him away and isolate him from the rest of the areas of your life. Your encounter with the living God should be affecting and transforming every realm of your life. And so Paul said, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. How do you do that? So I'm not going to have time to go into each one of these details, but I will tell you that from verse number 4, where Paul says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, that is in verse number 4, that from verse 4 to verse number 10, he describes the various aspects that he operates through to accomplish that task. You will find these in three segments, and they're listed in the New King James Version this way: from verse 4 through verse number 5, they are described with the preposition in, I-N. From verses 6 through verse number 8, they are described by the preposition by, B-Y. And in verse number 9, there is a transition to as, A-S. So how do you commend yourselves as a minister to God? Well, the very first thing that he describes is in much patience. In much patience. If we are going to be servants of the Most High God, it is going to show up by us constantly, patiently enduring with a cheerful attitude. Constantly, patiently enduring with a joyful attitude. That is the number one way you identify yourself as a servant of the Most High God. That's the first thing that Paul lists. Now, he also goes on and describes the love and they have it, but it's not going to be just exclusively how well you can quote the word of God. It's not going to be how well you can raise your hands in church or sing in the choir or any of those sorts of things. It's going to manifest with the fruit of the Spirit being patience. So let me ask you to do this. Let's see. My wife and I went someplace and, I was taking her to the ladies' conference. And I don't know how this happens, but it happens frequently. And that is whenever I get into a vehicle that I don't normally drive, the gas gauge is almost always on empty. And my daughter happened to be out of town that day, and so we were able to drive her vehicle up to the ladies' conference. So I'm on the highway, and I just happened to look down, and I see that there's not enough gas to get us to the destination that we need to get to. And then I was going to be driving back home that night. So what do you do when you look down and you see that the level of patience that you are having with other people is at an insufficient level? Where do you run? You don't go to the gas station because you can't buy patience there. I tease kids all the time and said, well, where'd you get those big, beautiful eyes? Or where did you get such a handsome smile? Did you get that at Walmart? Or were those on sale at 12 for a dollar? No, they weren't. You see, that's something you've got to get from the nature of God. And that's where we've got to run if we look down and we see that our patience level is running low. Paul said, I do it in patience, much patience, much patience. In tribulations, he still commended himself as a servant of God. When he was in need and in distress, he commended himself as a servant of God. When he was receiving stripes and when he was in prison, when he was going through storms and when he was working very hard and when he was experiencing times of sleeplessness and when he was experiencing times of fasting, everything that he did in those processes was done with the patience that allowed himself to be commended as a servant of the Most High God. Today, when you are at work and when you're having moments of intense fellowship with coworkers and all of the strife and the infighting that can take place at a work site, don't forget to conduct yourself and commend yourself as a servant of the Most High God. I had a conversation with a person one time, and I will tell you, when I'm sharing this, I will tell you that I am not blameless or perfect in this area. I have blown this as well. And this person was describing an encounter they had with a hairdresser. Okay, mine's never been with a hairdresser. But for some reason, this hairdresser had not done things the way that this person wanted. And so she opened up both barrels and let the hairdresser have it. And that was before they ever started working on this person's hair. And I was like, my first thought was, man, I don't ever want to make the person cutting my hair mad before they cut my hair. I just don't want to do it. And I asked this person this question. I said, were you able to share the gospel with them? You see, because the reality is whenever we allow our carnal nature to take control and begin to manifest, what we lose is the ability at that point in time to be a reputable messenger and minister of God to that person who God had placed in our sphere of influence. Like I said, I'm not perfect in that area. There are people that I have to pray now, God, would you send someone else who would make up for my deficiencies? And would you allow them to see a credible witness of the grace of God being manifest in a person's life, that they commend themselves as a servant of Most High God in whatever they're going through. What process did he use? He used purity, knowledge. He commended himself as a servant of God by his purity. It is amazing to me that there's a commercial on television that makes fun of the water supply. And they say, well, this is water from a certain region and it has a perfectly acceptable amount of lead in the water supply. And everybody's like, well, I don't want to drink lead. I want pure, clean, refreshing water. And yet, when it comes to our moral positions, there are too many people who are looking for the minimum standard of purity instead of the maximum level of purity. So Paul said, I live a pure life because I want people to know that I serve God. I conduct myself with knowledge and grow in knowledge so that people will know that I have a relationship with God and I serve him. And here, look here, by long suffering. Again, it's the same concept. It's the same patience and the long suffering and the being forbearing and kindness and by the Holy Spirit and by sincere love, by the word of truth and by the power of God. There are all of these things. And Paul is saying, I use every one of these situations, every one of these attributes, all of the resources that God makes available to me, I want to use them so that people know that the God that I serve is a God that loves them. And then he goes on and he says that people think that he's a deceiver, and yet he's conducting himself as truth. He ministers as unknown, and yet he's well known by God. He ministers as dying, and yet he knows that he's going to live forever. He lives as disciplined, yet not killed, as being full of sorrow, but he is always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. I want to ask you today, if you were to look down right now, would your patience and long-suffering gauge, would it be reading full, or would it be reading a little on the low side? Today, the only place you can fill up on the patience of God is to go to the God of all patience and the God of all comfort, and he will fill you up. God bless you. You have a victorious day. May everybody around you know you serve the living God today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.